named Tabitha, who lived in a town called Joppa. She was a disciple of Christ, and she saw the poverty of the widows in her town, and she tried to help. And in that time and in that place, widows could also mean those women who had been abandoned, whose husbands had been taken away, those women who had children but no husband. In that culture, a piece of cloth was made by hand. Even the sort of looms that we are familiar with were not yet invented. Cloth was woven with straps around your back, holding things straight, a person, often a woman, kneeling as she wove. Before the weaving even, someone had to clip the sheep. Someone had to take either wool or flax and spin it, and there were no spinning wheels. It's where children's tops come from. It's that tradition of spinning a top so that you could spin every piece of fiber, every stitch by hand. It was a huge investment in time and money. Unable to afford even a simple piece of clothing, the rags these women wore left them exposed and vulnerable, and as a result, unable to go to temple, to move easily in the culture. Tabitha's mission was to clothe them, not just so they would have better clothes, more fashionable clothes, but so that they could participate in the culture, perhaps work, go to temple to pray, not to be the targets of prejudice or assault. A simple piece of clothing could make the difference between life and starvation or forced prostitution. The simplest things often make a world of difference in people's lives. This one of the first stories in Acts of the life of the followers of Christ is a story of love and charity. Tabitha lives, as we often live, it has been said, in a bicultural identity, but perhaps a multicultural identity. Her name, Tabitha, identifies her as a Jew. It's an Aramaic name linked to her ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, to Moses and Miriam. But this story also gives her a Greek name, Dorcas. Now, it's common in our culture for people to have two names, a Chinese name, an English name, a Salish name, and an English name. Dorcas learned to navigate a world where multiple identities were a necessary part of life. She lived in the Roman Empire, but the common language of the area was not Latin or Aramaic. The language of business and the language of education, the language of the courts and politics, was Greek. So she was a Roman subject, not a citizen. She's a Jewish woman of some education. She spoke Greek and she lived in Greek, and her story is written in Greek. Even so, it's important to the writer of Acts, likely Luke, to identify her first by her Aramaic name. And he identifies her as a Jewish woman of the same lineage as Jesus and Peter. Now, the writer identifies Peter only by his Greek name. We call him Peter. His birth name in Aramaic was Simon, but Jesus had renamed him the Rock, which in Aramaic is Cephas, and his Greek name was Petraeus, and his Latin name Petrus, from which we get the name Peter, which means the rock. Multiple identities in a world where it was commonplace. The book of Acts is not just a collection of individual acts or even just the acts of a group of apostles. It's the story of how the acts of the followers establish a new identity for the people of Christ. Because in the middle of these multiple identities, the disciples and their followers establish one identity which they come to believe is the most important. They don't give up the others. That's often a mistake we made as Christians, that they give up the others. They don't. Tabitha is still Tabitha, a Jew. Peter is still a descendant of Sarah and Abraham, Miriam and Moses. And yet they write this new story in Greek. And by writing in Greek, they take on some of the moral, philosophical assumptions of Greek culture. They live as Roman subjects in a multicultural place. And now they begin to assume the identity as Christ's followers as being the most important. Tabitha dies. They take her body and they prepare it for burial. Some followers run to a nearby town where Peter is staying to ask him to come. And the scripture says, Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to a room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping. They showed the tunics and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and he knelt down and he prayed. And then he turned to the body and said, Tabitha, get up. Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Peter, in the story, inherits the mantle of Jesus, the healer. But the story also echoes stories of the ancient prophets. The raising of Dorcas parallels the story of the prophet Elijah, who comes to a widow and raises her son to life. And later, Elijah's follower, Elisha, is helped by a Shunammite woman whose son also dies. And Elisha raises her son to new life. Later, Jesus was called by a man named Jairus, whose daughter has died. Her name was Talitha. And Jesus raised Talitha to new life. Peter's act of healing is a sign which authenticates his ministry, but it solidifies his identity as apostle and the identity of the followers. The new identity these people have as followers of the Christ, the Messiah. The sign, the raising, serves as a gospel revelation, the good news. It proclaims the realization of Israel's messianic hope of a coming kingdom, where the dead find new life and the poor and the widowed can rejoice in plenty. That's the prophecy. Of course, the significance of the sign in its historical context is only fully understood by the Jews. But the significance of raising the dead goes so far beyond that. When the dead are raised and widows rejoice, the kingdom is in our midst, and everyone can see. That hope, the possibility of the kingdom, did not die with Jesus. Instead, hope is given new life in every act of charity and in the new understanding of who the followers will be as their world changes. The book of Acts is primarily the story of how the followers take on a new identity and give it preference above all the others. And the story also indicates that the apostles and the saints, that's the followers of Christ, don't give up their other identities, simply come to understand them in new ways. Peter does not give up being a Jew, neither does the apostle Paul. Paul continued to raise and send money to the temple in Jerusalem for as long as he was able, until well after his arrest by Roman authorities. He remains a temple Jew. But he was also a Roman citizen. Unlike most of the others in this story, Paul was born a Roman citizen with the legal rights of a citizen, much prized in those times. And he uses that identity and those rights when he's arrested by the Roman authorities. For a long time, that identity had protected him. When Paul writes letters to the people of the Christian communities in different parts of the Middle East, often they're squabbling about identity. Who's more important? And he continues to remind them that all their identities are important, not just their cultural identities, but also their individual ones. Are you a preacher, a teacher, a healer? Are you the one giving hospitality? Are you the listener? He reminds them that above all, they are followers of Christ, and every one of their talents is important. Male and female, Jew or Greek, they are one in Christ. Now, we too live in a culture of multiple identities. I can claim my Scottish heritage. I can acknowledge my culture as the child of settlers in this land. I should acknowledge that much of my understanding of community comes from my childhood on the prairie. I am English-Canadian. I'm an Anglophone. But above all, I am called to be a follower of Christ. And my faith and my belief in that are evidenced by my acts in a community that struggles with identity. Just as Tabitha did, my acts of love and charity, hopefully, will identify me as a follower of Christ. Building the kingdom of God in small acts of charity, large acts of inclusion, and hopefully personal acts of learning. Tabitha, Dorcas, one of the mothers of the church, a name or names too often forgotten. And for her, every small act of charity, every piece of cloth woven and given could save a life. A family, a woman, and her child. And so I'm going to ask that we remember that as we sing an oldish hymn that many of you will know. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that our unity will one day be restored. They'll know we are Christians by our love.